So in this film series, you're kind of trying to seek out how to document Aspen over the past 70 years now. And we have this collection of films. How did you pick them?
We kind of went through a process. We looked at the films that we obviously had in our collection. We looked at the quality of them, what information we had on each film, because while we had some little descriptions, we couldn't actually view them because of their condition, and we didn't want to increase their any damage to them. So we had to kind of guess based off of what descriptions were out there. And then we looked at what kind of copyrights we could get or get permissions to reproduce or digitize these films for our collection.
So you were looking to show what skiing was like then, what town was like then.
Yes, and if you look at the early films, specifically the Why Aspen Before Lifts, and then when you start seeing the later films in the into the 60s, there is a big difference of what town really looks like. But what I kind of like from all of them is that everybody is having so much fun in the 40s, in the 60s, in the 70s. They're just having fun. And I think really, while the town itself changes and the style of skiing and everything changes, what doesn't change are like just what makes Aspen just the fun part of Aspen.
So you mentioned seeing it change, and I think that's really apparent watching the films from the 40s and then watching the ones from the 50s and really early 60s. There's a few buildings, and then all of a sudden it's a really big town, and I think that's really it's obvious.
I think what's most obvious is the lack of buildings in the first one, where the open spaces, like entire blocks that were practically empty, the spaces are noticeable. You see kind of the main buildings, you know, the historic buildings of the Wheeler Opera House and Hotel Jerome and the Elks and everything. You see those buildings, but you really notice those empty spaces. And then in the later ones, it is just such an infill.
So I have a clip from one of the movies that I'd like to play for you that kind of talks about Aspen turning from a place where people live and ski to a place where people live that people come to ski. So kind of like the commercialization of Aspen, and I'll play that clip right now.
Located centrally in the heart of America, Aspen is easily reached by train. Now here is one of the lovely rooms at the Hotel Jerome. The old Victorian flavor has been kept, but it's up to date as today.
So we hear that clip. Is there something that is particularly noticeable in these films about Aspen's growth as a skiing destination?
Well, I mean, just first of all, I mean, just hearing the train as a way to get here is very entertaining because, you know, that only went until 1949 as a passenger train into Aspen. It came into Aspen until the 60s, but it only worked as a passenger train until then. So definitely the mode of transportation that people get here is different. But what's also interesting is that they were really trying to promote this area as a destination, as a place that people would want to go to. You got to remember, most of the skiing really happened in Europe before this. And only a few ski areas were kind of in the works around the country. They were popping up everywhere, so they were definitely having to compete with other ski areas. But this was one of the few ski areas in Colorado that was really developing. And so they were having to, like, you know, tell people how great it is to come here, and you want to come here, and you want to see this small town, and you can ski right into town, which there's not a lot of other ski areas that you can literally ski into the streets.
So in these films too, there's lots of appearances by people who now are well known in the Aspen community.
Yeah. We had there's a fun clip where you get to see Klaus Obermeier when he's quite young. And now you can see him around town too. But definitely, you know, I mean, this is a long time ago, so it's pretty amazing to see, you know, these faces. Names and faces of people that we hear about all the time, but we haven't necessarily really seen them unless you're of an older generation. You know, Walter Pepke, the Friedel Pfeiffer, Fred Islin. You get to see Pete Seibert, who started Vail. You get to see You know, Gary Cooper, who came here all the time. There's, you know, a lot of actually just people that were just, you know, community members, the Islands, and I know the Susie Wirth, whose family lived up on the mountain. Their family's still around. You know, so you get to, it's just locals as well.
And what part did those people play in creating these films and kind of advancing Aspen?
Well, in creating the films, I mean, Dick Durrance and Fred Islin, they were definitely instigators in creating these films to promote around the country and in Europe, to show the great skiing, how much fun it was, how much fun it could be to take a lesson. You know, what we are today is partly because of what these guys did and how they captured these films and made it seem so exciting to come here.
What do you hope people learn when they see these?
I think it's important to just kind of know how we formed, because a lot of people see us as this resort just for rich people, just for, you know, a different kind of resort than where we came from. And I think the people who live here today, a lot of them are like, no, we've got a lot of just great people. We have a really great community. You know, there's a lot of friendliness and fun and, you know, everybody just knows each other. And I think these films really kind of show that and what we've kind of built from, and that we haven't really lost it. What a lot of the media shows is stuff that really none of the locals really participate in.
I wanted to talk about the ski lessons too.
Oh, okay.
And just talking about skiing is fun because there, you mentioned skiing being fun and how that was sort of one of the things marketed. There's one film where that's a song.
Oh.
The refrain is, oh boy, skiing is fun.
Right.
And it just goes on and on and on. And it kind of reminds me of a television show you might see then where the host of maybe a late show is the advertiser.
Right.
And it's kind of this pastoral feeling, like trying to sell Aspen.
Well, and you know, you're really introducing a lot of times, and a lot of our people came from like the East Coast, and skiing seemed to be more something that people did there, even if they weren't. You know, I mean, I'm from the West Coast. We ski on ice. They ski on ice in the East Coast. But coming to Colorado and kind of introducing it to everybody and making it be something that, you know, doesn't matter who you are, you can participate in skiing. You can have your kids participate. And they're saying, it's fun and easy for everybody, you know, just take a lesson and look at all these. Well, they had really handsome and beautiful people as instructors, and so I think that was also part of it. Everybody looked really good. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, and they're all wearing the same sweaters in one sequence of
yes.
the skiing thing that had to have taken multiple days to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, and they all look so put together, and they've got their makeup on and their hair done, and the men look, you know, tan and handsome and always smiling. And so it just seems like this, you know, why wouldn't you want to be part of that? You know, why wouldn't you want to participate in that? I mean, they did make it very look glamorous and fun. And the kids, you know, like, of course, zooming past. It's pretty funny.
All right. Thank you very much for speaking with me today.
You're welcome.